All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 207. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
We got a couple new movies. We got a bunch of TV shows that I've been just watching all week. Right off the bat, we had some audio issues. I know that I was a little hard to hear last week. I'm hoping that I've fixed it now. If not, we will keep adjusting. But, you know, thanks for anyone who listens for their patience with that. But Chris, let's get into the movies this week. And we're going to start with one that I'm actually upset I didn't get to go see. I was looking forward to it. I just didn't find the time this week.
It was a busy week.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it, I didn't get to play a lot of video games or anything because of all the TV I'm watching, and we're going to get into that. But we're going to start with Godzilla, King of Monsters. That's the title, correct?
King of the Monsters, yeah.
King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So you saw Godzilla, I think it was, what, 2014?
Yeah.
You also saw Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, I love that one.
This takes place in that universe. Mm-hmm. It's a follow-up to 2014 Godzilla, where Godzilla kind of, they've reawoken him from, you know, his slumber, his nuclear slumber or whatever. And now he's awake, he's back, and he destroyed San Francisco. And after that event, he's kind of gone missing for a while. But there's this company Monarch that I don't know how much they played into the original Godzilla. I don't really remember.
But yeah,
they were the people that sent somebody out to Kong, like to Skull Island, to look for King Kong, and evidently over, you know, that took place like Vietnam War era. This takes place modern day, so like between like those 40, 50 years, 60 years, I guess, it's been, they've been hunting these like titans, and they have all these sites where these titans are kind of slumbering. Starts off where there is this, starts off at, like in the aftermath of the original Godzilla, where this guy Mark, his son is missing and presumed dead from the attack, and you know, he seems haunted by it. His wife is haunted by it. They flash forward to the future where Vera Farmiga is playing this doctor who is mom to Millie Bobby Brown's Madison, and they're out in the jungle somewhere, and she works for Monarch, and they go and they're waking up Mothra from like the start. You're getting like the big monsters, and she wakes them up and shit goes bad. And then it's just from there, it's like, oh, crap's going bad. We've woken up the wrong things. The natural order is fucked up now. This was not the plan.
How far would you say that is in, like, when they release Mothra or whatever?
Oh, it's quick, like first 10 minutes.
Okay, wow.
Like,
this is kind of a long movie.
It's 2 hours, 12 minutes. There's a lot of humans in this.
I've seen this.
for a movie that has, that's like, you know, the big focus is you want to see Godzilla fight these monsters. Specifically, you want to get to Godzilla versus it's like this three-headed Hydra type thing called King Ghidorah.
Yeah, we're cool looking.
That's what you want to get to. You want to see that shit, and it just like they keep throwing humans in the way. That's part of the problem here. Anytime Godzilla is fighting giant monsters, it's cool.
Yeah.
Anytime that they throw humans in to help Godzilla is stupid, because what the hell are you doing to these creatures?
Yeah.
And then, like, you also, like, I mean, I get, I understand why you put people in this, because a 2-hour movie of giant monsters beating the hell out of each other does not play to a mass market. They want characters. They want some sort of narrative here. It doesn't always work. It's a little bit goofy. The conceits and the motivations that the characters have are weird. Like what they're doing is strangely set up. Some of the actions that the characters take are like make zero sense. They're goofy. It's and in that way, it kind of plays like a Roland Emmerich disaster film. Like the
not always a bad thing for me.
No. It's just like that's kind of like where I compare the characterizations to is like one of his movies. They're inconsequential to the shit going on around them that you want to see. Yeah. And if you can get by that, it's a fun movie because like it is a blast seeing like Godzilla fight King Ghidorah, fight Rodan, like Mothra joins the fight. You see glimpses of other Titans, like they show them, but rarely are they like involved in the actual fighting. It's mostly like this is mostly a Godzilla versus King Ghidorah with a tag in from Mothra and Rodan every once in a while. There's some goofy nonsense going on, but it's visually it's a stunning movie. I think the monsters look great. If you are into that, if you are into monsters beating the hell out of each other, it's gonna be a fun time for you. It's filled with maybe 40% nonsense that doesn't help anything, but it doesn't hurt. Like I guess it ties some things together enough to get you to the end.
Is there like a little bit of a wait before we get to this what you came for?
They're
peppered in so much, like the characters are just peppered in throughout that, like a little too much.
They're like ultimately like the big final battle, which probably maybe takes up like not half the film, but like the back quarter of the film. It takes a little while to get there, but there are good battles in between. There's good action going on. The people are peppered throughout. It's not like the original, but the 2014 Godzilla, the original version of Godzilla, where it was like, it was an hour before you got anything going.
Yeah, my memory of that was it's pretty slow, but I actually remember I remember really, really enjoying like the end of that movie. So
yeah, but once you release Godzilla, you can't like wrap them back up, right? Like,
yeah.
So this movie kind of had to start from the get go, and same with King Kong, like, with Skull Island, like
that's a movie that did not fuck around.
No, but like they do like pepper in the people
they fucking kill half of them, right? Yeah. Right away, I love that.
But it's another thing where there's only one monster and you're dealing it that way. It does set some things up to tie those two together. So if this film has done well enough, I think we will finally get a King Kong versus Godzilla movie. The way this stuff is playing out though, it's going to be a little while, like maybe 2 or 3 years before we get one of them, but that's fine. I'm good just getting one of these every few years. I don't need one all the time. So,
I'm excited for that. The next one, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I know this one got really mixed reviews. I'm excited to see it still. It's funny. Like, you don't seem too strong one way or the other, but most of the reaction I have seen has either been like people really hate this movie, or there's people that are like, I don't understand what people did not like. This is exactly what you've always wanted. So
I kind of get both sides there. Like, I think that's why I fall in the middle. It's like,
I sympathize with both people.
Yeah. It's like I see why, like if you're going for a movie with strong characters and a good narrative, this is not it. And also if you're going to a Godzilla movie for that, what are you going for? Like, there's a little too much of them in it, and they're not strong enough. like the story there isn't, it doesn't carry it. It's okay. It's just like, I thought Kong Skull Island, like that was a fun, like adventure type movie. Yeah. Where this one is more like, oh, we're, you know, bioterrorism and, you know, it's very much, not trying to hide that, this is an allegory for climate change. At, like, not at all. Like, I don't know how you come out of here going, this is not a political movie in any way, but.
Well, you know, in a way, Godzilla's kind of always been that in a way. Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah. But people like, don't like to.
I know.
Just don't like.
Politics out of everything now. What always
been. Are you watching? Like, what were you ever watching?
It's just like, you know, you see people saying stuff like, oh, they're going to try to make the Twilight Zone woke now. And you're just like, did you always watch Twilight Zone? Yeah.
This is, I don't know, at 2 hours and almost 15 minutes long, like, it could have been cut a little bit. You could have cut some of those people scenes to just give us the monster goodness. But, you know, I think it's enjoyable. I was not upset at going to it. Was funny. I at the screening I was at, on one side of me was like this guy who was basically cheering along at everything, and then to my right was this lady who had zero go for this at all. She was not so like, and I'm like in the middle. I'm like, this is kind of cool. I see what her issue is. Like, she thinks everybody's stupid in this movie, and they are. But I'm also like, this guy is just enjoying it for watching giant monsters fight each other.
Yeah.
I see it. I'm there. So I'm gonna give it a 3, but I think if you like giant monsters, it's a good one.
Cool. All right. Well, you know, one thing I did want to ask you though, before we move on.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do want to see this, but, one like concerning thing I heard is that some of the action is like not good, and that it's like it's shy, like kind of like Game of, like the same criticism that Game of Thrones got, where it was like
it's dark.
Yeah, and you can't really see what the fuck is going on. Yeah,
Did
you agree with that?
I did not. I mean, it is a dark movie. And I think that's mostly to accentuate, like, there's a lot of fire. There's a lot of, so like you want to accentuate the orange of the flames. Godzilla shoots like blue, like fire out of his mouth, or blue, like radiation or whatever. So you want to accentuate those colors that come out of these creatures. And you do that by toning down like the color of, You make things shot at night. You make things dark so that like that stuff pops on screen. It's not anywhere near, you know, that the Battle of Winterfell, where it's like I'm having trouble seeing shit. Like, and maybe it was I saw it on IMAX. Maybe maybe just having the better cameras and stuff like worked out. I did not see it. I can't comment on like a regular digital print. But I mean, the screening I was at, I did not feel that it was overly dark. It did not feel like Battle of Winterfell-ish at all. So,
cool. I mean, I'm kind of worried too, because like some of the IMAX screens at like my local, or not IMAX, some of like just the regular screens at my local AMC are like sometimes lit poorly. So that worries me. But I actually might go see it in the next week, so maybe I'll give my take soon. But
all right,
I'm happy you didn't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I generally liked it. It's just like it's not, oh my god, that's amazing. But also, I'm not, oh my god, Godzilla's amazing. Like, Godzilla's cool. I like big monsters.
I'm not like a hardcore Godzilla fan, but yeah, I'm just like you. I'm like, I want to see cities get torn up and shit.
Right.
And I really liked the 2014 one. Like I said, I thought it was a little slow, but I liked it. And Skull Island, the more I've been thinking about it, this whole episode, I'm like, I want to get that on 4K. Like, I would not mind owning that. That's such a fun movie.
It's a great looking movie. And it's fun. Like, it's an adventure movie. Like, just happens to have a giant gorilla in it.
Yeah. So I look forward to them teaming up. But yeah, hopefully I'll be able to give my thoughts on Godzilla soon. We're going to move along now to another new film in theaters that we actually both got to see. It's one I was looking forward to based on just concept alone.
Yeah.
That's Ma, which stars Octavia Spencer as this lady who buys beers for some high school students and invites them over to her house to drink in her basement so they'll be safe. And she's crazy. That's the premise. Like, that's like, and I've always enjoyed like the idea that it's like, you know, I've explained it out here before, but for people just listening to this episode, it's like, you know, the concept of taking something that like teenagers are going to do no matter what, you know, like every teenager has done this, and turning it into something scary. And you know, the idea of Octavia Spencer getting to play like this, you know, psycho villain role.
Yeah, because she's so sweet. Like,
yeah, she always plays like this, you know, usually a supporting actor, like supporting role, but always like super nice and normal. Yeah. And she kind of, you know, she uses that to great effect here. You know what I mean? So, you know, this movie kind of delivers on the trailer and then the concept that, you know, I was promised. I think I had a good time with it, but it's weird. It's like my one word reaction to Ma is it's a little strange. To me, it's like perfectly kind of normal and actually kind of restrained for like a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like this movie has actually a really low body count. And for that whole time, I'm like, this is interesting. It's actually kind of more thoughtful and original than I thought. And it kind of had more, like backstory going on than I expected. But some of that is part of the problem, I think, here is that some of the backstory, and we'll get into it, but some of the backstory I think is a little, ridiculous. And then once the film kind of switches into, you know, fourth gear or whatever, it's like, I guess the pacing I would describe is kind of like 1978 Halloween, like really slow. And then the last 20 minutes are like, basically everything happens in the last 20 minutes. Not to compare this to Halloween. And then I feel like once it goes there, like it is insane. And like, kind of in a good way, but also kind of just like ridiculous and hilarious and like unintentionally goofy, or maybe it's intentional. It's hard for me to tell, but it kind of goes for broke with the insanity near the end. And for me personally, like I don't think everything works, but I kind of enjoy the fact that it's so nuts near the end, but I don't even know if you agree with that. So what did you think of Ma?
Yeah, it's a little bit slow to like slow going. It definitely does in like that last like maybe 20-25 minutes takes a crazy turn. I don't know if the payoff is all there. It gets a little cliche at times too. You know, there's some things that happen and it's like, especially for a movie that is like, seems like it's trying to do something like,
it's doing it very haphazardly.
You know, yeah. What I
mean? Very reckless and everything that it's doing, but it's, to me, it's kind of like fun the way it's like bouncing off the rails the way it does, but go ahead.
But that, that final like 20, 25 minutes is batshit insane. It's fun. It's like when it kicks in, it's like, yes, this is kind of what I signed up for. It just took a little while to get there. Like, I do think that the overall premise for why Ma is doing this is, I mean, it's a decent premise. It's just very convenient how, like, this all kind of plays in.
We'll talk some spoilers in a minute, I think. But I found, like, the reveal of her motivations, like, I found it to be, like, yes, it's a cruel thing that happened, but I also was like, really, you know, I don't know, I thought about it a lot, actually, afterwards, because I was like, you know what, all it took to set Carrie off was a bucket of blood, you know, and what happens to Ma is kind of much worse, but also, Ma, our title character, has had, you know, 25, 30 years of time to get over this.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Carrie reacts in the moment.
And there's...
doesn't make a difference, in my opinion.
And there's some, like, weird middle threads that...
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know, like... Look, I liked the idea of them, but they don't go anywhere with it except to, like, cause a convenient... A convenient exit for the film. And that felt like a waste.
There's a lot kind of going around, like, going on, like, below the surface here, where it feels like, first off, like, I don't even know where to begin with, like, the kind of some of the racial stuff in this, because I saw someone say that, oh, this movie deals in the mammy trope, and I'm not familiar with that. So, like, and I didn't read up on that, so I'm like, I don't know exactly what they're referring to. I know it's referring to, you know, Octavia Spencer's character. But there's also, like, all this weird, like, you know, small town bullshit kind of lingering in the background that feels like the writer working out some shit. Honestly, like, there's, like, resentment towards people in small towns. Not resentment, but, like, it feels like someone that's, like, steeped in this kind of world. And it just doesn't feel like the movie knows exactly what it's doing. Like, it feels like it's working out its own issues with it a little bit. I'll say one more thing, and you know, we'll wrap up our regular portion of the review and then get some spoilers. But this is a small spoiler. But, like, to me, like you said, once it gets going, then it's really fun and it's what you expected. And I'm like, I kind of agree with that. But I also think that, like, once it gets going, is once it reveals how crazy it is, like, how, like, I don't know if it's going for laughs or not with some of this shit, because it's just so out there. So one of the things she does to one of her victims is she's got him handcuffed to a bed, and she tells him that men are dogs, and then she hooks him up to an IV bag of dog blood. And I'm just like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's a really sick, twisted thing that the writer came up with. But it's also, like, kind of laughable and insane. So it's like, that's kind of, like, the tone that happens in the last 20 minutes. And if that sounds, like, fun to you, you'll probably like it. And if it doesn't, you might not like this. At least in my opinion. The other thing I was kind of surprised by is, you know, we have a main character here. I don't know who she's played by. Is it Diana Silvers?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a main character here, and we have a mother who's played by Juliette Lewis, which I don't even remember seeing her in the trailers. So that was a really nice surprise for me that Juliette Lewis is in this. I feel like they could have played that up more in the marketing. Like, people like her. I like her. And I was kind of surprised. I really thought this movie was going to start with, like the opening scene is kids trying to buy alcohol. Like, but there's a surprising amount, like I said, we already touched on this, like, a surprising amount of backstory to this, including, like, with, like, there's actual characters in this, you know, like, this movie takes its time. It's not just the premise. It's there's character work. And I actually appreciated the main character and her mom. I thought they were well-written and I liked them. I generally liked the kids in this movie for the most part. I don't know if you'd agree or not, but, like,
they're mostly, like, they're pretty stereotypical, but they're not bad. Like, they're charismatic. They're kind of fun. Like, you see why Maggie would hang around with them. It's just a little convenient that they all kind of happen to be related.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's, we'll get into this in spoilers a little bit. I'll just say it right here. There's a very strong, like, Nightmare on Elm Street influence to this. But anyways, I also just want to note, like, this main, our main character played by Diana Silvers, we talked about her last week. She was, or I don't know if we really talked about her, but she was in Booksmart.
Yeah.
She's popping up in a bunch of shit, it seems like, and I enjoy her. But, yeah, I guess my final thoughts on this is it's a slow build, which I appreciate, and then it's kind of crazy and insane for the last 20 minutes. I don't, like, in my opinion, I don't think it all 100% works, but I kind of appreciate, like, I had fun with it, and I think some of the fun I had with it is its, like, insanity and its messiness. Like, this is a recommend for me. I ended up walking away from it going, that was crazy and kind of stupid, but I enjoyed it. How about you?
Yeah, I came away. I mostly liked it. You know, it's not gonna blow your it's not gonna blow your socks off. It's not Us. It's not it's not a Get Out or something like. It's you know, it's not Hereditary. Or it's like, it's a fun horror film.
It reminded me of like a dumb 90s thriller in a lot of ways too.
Yeah. And actually that's more what it
like, I mean, like a Pacific Heights or like, something like that, you know, like where Michael Keaton's the crazy landlord or, you know, like it's the crazy person in your town type thing. Like,
yeah, the crazy person that's just kind of living amongst you and you, mm-hmm. you don't really realize cause she holds it together pretty well, but underneath she's pretty loony.
I also love how they definitely chose her profession and used that to full effect, like, you know, very deliberately. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll let you finish. Say your final thoughts and score, and I'll just give my score.
I think I pretty much fall where you did. I don't regret going to see it. It was fun. It's, you know, I probably will not remember it much. I was talking about it, but like if it were something that like happened to be like, you know, flipping through channels or, you know, you're just browsing through Netflix or Hulu. Like I would probably put it on.
Yeah. Score?
I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm giving it a 3 as well. It's a recommend for genre fans for me. I don't know I guess we could touch on some spoilers and before we finish up some of the 8 billion hours of TV I watched. The reveal, like why she's doing this, I'll just say it. So, if you don't want it to spoil for you, fast forward 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not going to be long. They tricked her into blowing the wrong boy in the closet when she was in high school, which is like a really weird prank because, like, I don't know. Like, it's a mean and cruel thing to do to her. But, like, the dudes were like, you didn't blow me. You blew my friend. And he loved it, too. And I was like, okay. Like, what? What are you trying to prove with that prank there? Like,
right. Also, why did you go get the entire school to like
stand there? Like, right. Just it comes off as silly a little bit. Like, it's just like it's cruel, but at the same time, silly.
Yeah,
it's weird how she still has like a crush on the guy even now, and kind of like with his son and like that whole angle.
Yeah, like this guy who tricked you into basically being sexually assaulted. You know, because you had sex with somebody who you didn't mean to have sex with. That's a weird thing to like hold on to like that crush, but also she's insane.
Yeah, but it's a traumatic thing, I'm sure, but it's just like the lengths to which it like shaped her life after that, and the like, the villain she becomes because of it. I just don't believe.
Well, it's just so weird. It's like it's just like super convenient that because, you know, if she doesn't happen upon them trying to get beer, this doesn't happen, right? Like, because it doesn't seem planned. It's just like she happens across them trying to get beer. She recognizes that
they're like awakened something.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit. Yeah.
But she was definitely fucked up. Like, she was a loner.
Oh,
She
yeah.
has a kid who she's got like Munchausen by proxy with or whatever, you know, like where she's like kind of poisoning the kid and
Yeah, like that whole storyline just felt really weird. Like
it feels tacked on or something, even
something
though.
that it could have been interesting with. Because like one of the opening scenes is Maggie like meets her daughter and
You'll see her again till like the end of the fucking movie. It's
right.
like it's so obvious. Like it's obvious when you see her in the wheelchair that that's the lady's. Like you know it. Like I knew it. I was like, okay, she's
Right.
coming back. Like you don't have a scene like that in a movie, and that's not an important character. Like you know it. Like it's just.
But yeah, they like bring her right back at the end, and she's like, "Oh no, they're my friends. I need to help them." Like, okay.
Yeah.
Guess that's where we're going with this. Like,
Yeah, but I like just like when I said it's very haphazard and like you know it's dealing with this stuff with like a hatchet, you know, like there's a part where she like so when she starts doing all this like really sick like it's all these sick gags and like gross out like not gore but gross out gags near the end like she's hooking the guy up to the dog blood. She sews some girl's mouth shut. And the one black friend, she tells him there can only be one of us, and she
she
paints him
paints him
white.
white.
And I'm just like,
What the fuck?
honestly, it was weird. It was like a mostly like first off, I went and saw this at like 4 in the afternoon and or 5 in the afternoon on like a Tuesday, and it was actually half full. I was like surprised. And it was like a mostly black audience, and they like really reacted to that part. Like they were reacting to the whole movie. They were almost like talking through a lot of the movie, but they really reacted to that. I couldn't tell like what the reaction really was. It seemed kind of they're kind of like me, where they're just like, "This is ridiculous! Like, what the fuck are we doing?" You know, it was kind of like laughter. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Right.
and it's just yeah, it just to me like it's like things like that where it's like. This is crazy and nuts, and I kind of appreciate it on that level, but it's also just so sloppy and so like, what are we doing here? Like, what is this insanity that we're doing? And, you know, and she like lays down with the guy in the bed at the end. I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing here? It's weird. Like, it's like this thing could have been actually a lot better, but I also kind of just appreciate it for its own insanity.
Yeah, because it's another Blumhouse film. Like, he was like, "No, nah, here's your budget. Do what you want with it, man. Like, we're not gonna tighten up your script. You just do whatever you want."
I kind of dig that. I mean, you know, he's got a track record from that. And I'd say this, like, this movie, it's successful in its own way for me. Like I'm saying, like, part of what I appreciate is how dumb it is. Like, kind of fun to me. And yeah, I do like how, you know, she's a vet tech in this, and she, you know, that gives her access to all sorts of medications. She hooks the kids up to spike leashes near the end. She's got everyone, like, on leashes. I think they like I think one like you wrote like they wrote backwards into that like all right we want her to have access to all these drugs so then she has to be somehow in the medical field let's make her a vet tech you know and then they had fun with that I've dug Juliette Lewis as a character like as like this mom who's like being forced to like be a cocktail waitress at a casino. I thought that was, I don't know, well observed, you know, like kind of a, it felt like a real type of person to me anyways. She plays that role like so well. Don't know. I felt like maybe there were more spoilers, but that's kind of like the more specific things that come to mind for me. I don't know if am I missing something here that we should, that like we, like some crazy gag that we got to talk about.
No, I mean, like everything kind of happens at the end,
Yeah, it
and
starts with her
then
running that lady over, and then from there on, it's crazy town.
and unfortunately that which I think that would be such a shocking scene, but they show it in the
Big
trailer.
laugh. Yes, they show a lot of stuff in the trailer, but also like she says something right after that, where she's like "fucking bitch" or something, and
Yeah, she
then
was a
fucking
little stronger language, but
that guy huge laugh from everyone in my theater. I had a fun audience to see this one with. I don't know. I guess I had fun. I guess that's the spoilers for it. Chris, let's talk some TV. I know you didn't get to see any of this stuff, have you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Chernobyl, we talked about it already.
It's over now.
It's over. The fifth episode aired this week, and that thing is a damn near masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. It's really good. I mean, it's five episodes of great TV. And what can I say that I have not said before? One, I think that one thing that makes it so strong is it never has to over-dramatize things, because what's happening is so dramatic and so important. You have a catastrophe here that could kill millions of people, right?
Right.
And so actually the more like kind of muted and downplayed the characters react to things, it's better. It feels fine because we know the stakes. We know the stakes are so high, We don't need people shouting at the top of their lungs or crying or anything like that. Like, the reality is so grim, and it's so stark or whatever. It's so like this is what's gonna happen. 200,000 people might be affected because of this, and the way that the characters are dealing with like the real life drama that's happening, you don't have to oversell it, and then the series is very smart not to do that. Despite the fact that there's some like really nasty shit that happens. The last episode of the show is mostly a courtroom drama. So it's like it takes place like kind of after the first four episodes is them trying to contain the disaster, right?
Okay.
And then the last one is, the scientist that we've been following through the whole thing has to testify in court about what happened, and he has a choice to make. Do I tell the truth, or do I admit some things because omit? Sorry if that sounded like admit. Do I omit some things because for political correctness? Now, when I say that, I don't mean like how we think of politically correct, liberals want everything to be politically correct. That's not how I mean it. I mean it like how in the original sense of the word, where it was like the official government version of the story is what's politically correct, right? And so this guy has to choose whether to do that or not. And it makes some really strong kind of stunning points, in my opinion, near the end. Just kind of about like one big line that I love is kind of near the end. The guy says, something about how like this is the cost. This is the reason this accident was a result of lies, because we live in a society that lies and covers things up. And he's like, "What is the cost of lies?" And he's like, "This is the cost of lies." It's crazy. Like, the last episode is mostly just Jared Harris, this actor, like basically giving testimony in front of a court. And most of it is him explaining how a nuclear or how a nuclear power plant works. And it's riveting. Like, it's just like this guy standing there with like a chalk, not a chalkboard, but like a board. And he's hanging things up on the board explaining how a nuclear power plant works. And it's kind of riveting. It's really well done. I this is like, it's about something that's important and it's something that happened, and it couldn't have like they couldn't have executed it better. So I already sung this show's praises once. I highly recommend it to everybody. It's 5 hours of television that it's kind of must see. I'm gonna give it 5 stars,
Nice.
and I know you said you had interest in the subject matter.
Yep,
You're
I
in
am
for a
going to
treat,
watch
dude.
it. It is
You are in for a treat.
on my is on my list to watch, so.
We'll talk about it when you see it. I can't wait to hear what you'd say. In a similar vein, we have another true story, and a mini series, except this one is not on HBO. This was premiered on, it's a Netflix miniseries. It's called When They See Us. It's directed by Ava DuVernay, who She's interesting to me. She did A Wrinkle in Time, which I thought was, I forgot. I think you had a middling kind of reaction to that. I thought it was terrible. But she also did 13th, the documentary on Netflix about the 13th Amendment, which I thought was amazing and essential. This, When They See Us, is, in my opinion, maybe even better than the 13th. This is essential viewing. This is an essential miniseries, just like Chernobyl. Well, not just like Chernobyl, but like in the sense of you need to see it. Like people need to see this. So if you're not familiar with the Central Park Five, it's I think it was like 1986 or something in Central Park. A woman was beaten and raped, basically left for dead. And cops kind of like ran through Central Park and kind of rounded people, like some kids up. It was like these five black kids, and they basically went down for this crime. They got them to confess. They have them on tape saying that they did it. But it turns out, I mean, spoilers for something in real life that I think most people are at least somewhat familiar with. Like over a decade later, it turns out that they didn't do it. They were exonerated, and it was somebody else. And this is the absolutely gripping true story of that. It's a four-part miniseries. The episodes vary in length, so some are an hour, some are like an hour and a half, some are like an hour and 15 minutes, right? And I think they kind of add up, I would say, to around 5 hours for the four episodes. Me and my girlfriend started watching this on Saturday night. And we watched the entire thing in one sitting. I don't think we paused it. We were like, you're like 10 minutes into this thing. You're so wrapped up in what's going on and so invested in these characters that you're with it for the whole ride. And it is a stunning work. It is quite an achievement. I think Ava DuVernay should be very proud of what she's done here. I think everyone should be very proud of their work here. This thing, it's great. It's truly great television. It's a must-see. There's a couple of things I want to mention. I think that the cast is very kind of like interesting and I think really good. It's got some like early night like or not early 90 like early 2000 names pop up in it, like Joshua Jackson.
Oh, really?
He is one of the kids. He's one of the kids' defense attorneys. He's great in it. And I'm like, where the fuck is this like guy been? Like, I haven't seen him in a decade in a movie. And Brian chimed in to me on Twitter and said he's been on a bunch of like great TV. So like, I never watched Fringe. I guess he's on some other show
Yeah,
now.
he was on Fringe.
Vera Farmiga in here, Famke Jensen. You have Felicity Huffman who plays. I can't remember her like. Linda Fierstein or something. She plays like the attorney, like the prosecutor who really pushed to try this case and to try these kids. And interesting story about this lady is the weekend, like so over the weekend, this kind of like the show kind of blew up. People were watching it. It's on Netflix. By Monday, she had deleted all of her social. Like she's still around. She deleted all of her social media, their Twitter, her Facebook, her Instagram. They're all gone. She's actually gotten fired from a nonprofit that she was working for. And if she's anything like how she's depicted in this, I mean, even if she's not anything like she's depicted in this, in my opinion, she deserves everything that comes her way because of what she did to these kids. Like, this was not, none of this was on the up and up. It was a way to, they wanted to, they want to solve the crime. Because it was, a heinous crime that happened to this white lady that was jogging through the park. But like, it's not justice to just be like, they did it and like throw some kids in jail. You know what I mean? Like it's
Right,
just
it's not how things happen.
and
Have to get the right person.
and there's parts of this that are very, very tough to watch. It's so funny, like you realize the kids that they rounded up, they finally put them in like a holding cell together, like I think near the end of the first episode or something, where it's like you realize none of these kids even knew each other, and they supposedly did this crime together. They get thrown in a room together. And they're like, "What's your name? What's your name?" And they like all kind of introduce each other to each other, and they're like, "I'm sorry, man. They got me to say that you did it." Like, they didn't even know each other. They're like, "I feel bad now that I meet you because they made me say that you did it." Just horrible. Like, I guess one other thing I want to touch on, because, you know, I don't want to like spoil everything or whatever, but like,
right.
Even though it is, like I said, I think people are familiar with the story at the very least. But one other thing I wanted to touch on though is one of the four kids is portrayed by Jarrell Jerome, who he plays Corey Weiss. And, you know, everyone gives a great performance in this, but this kid was so good that he plays the child version of himself, and he plays the version of him, like, you know, 15 years later as an adult.
Wow.
Where everyone else, like every other kid, had a different actor playing him as an adult. This guy was so good. He played both versions of the character, and very convincingly. Like, he looks different. He feels like a kid in the early parts, and he feels like an adult near the end. I mean, give this guy the Emmy right now. In fact, I really hope this thing wins a lot of awards. It is that great. There's something else I wanted to say about him, but I'm already forgetting. But yeah, dude, watch this. I'm telling you, you're not gonna like. It's so funny because I came into work on Monday, and like the person to the right and the left of me at work had both seen it, and so we all started talking about it. And then the next day, I was like telling somebody else about it at work, and she's like, "Yeah, I might go home and I'll check out an episode, and I'll let you know what I think." She came in the next day. She's like, "We watched the whole thing." It's just like, it's kind of like it just grabs you. It's gonna be interesting at the end of this year because, in my opinion, there's been a lot of really good television this year. So like, I kind of thought though I was gonna hand the best TV category to Joe Bob. You know, I was going to slip that in there. But boy, oh boy, I'd be surprised if anything beats this. So it's 5 stars for me. Like, obviously, tell from what I'm saying. I feel like I forgot a million things I wanted to say about it. I guess one other thing to say, I mean, I think it also should become obvious, is like, it's a tough watch, dude. Like, it's.
I'm sure.
Like, you'll probably cry at least once throughout it. I know, like, some of the people I talked to at work said they were crying within the first 20 minutes, and they were so upset and angry they almost turned it off. The one other thing I want to say about it, so, like, the guy who plays both characters, it's 4 episodes long, and I'd say the last episode 4, is, like, pretty much dedicated to him, and it on its own would be, like, this great fucking hour and a half movie, but as a part of a larger whole, it's even better. It's so good. I can't wait for more people to see. Again, it's funny, like, a lot of people at my work have seen it, but a lot of people, like, in our friend groups on Twitter have not at least been talking about it. So I really hope this catches on and more people start talking about it. It's beyond Top Shelf. It's like one shelf above Top Shelf television.
All right, yeah, that's something I'll add to my list.
Definitely. I mean, one of the, like, I was like trying to get people to watch this and Chernobyl. It's like, it's a hard sell. Like, I was like telling people, like, if you have the time, and it is, like, especially for this, you're asking for someone to watch something that, while really great, is also like really upsetting and depressing, and it's 5 hours long. So it's like, I get it if people, you know, can't commit to it. But I will say, like, if you give it a chance, you're not going to end up watching the whole thing. You're going to be blown away by it. I guess one last show, Chris. That is Black Mirror's back, man.
Yeah.
I think you watched last season, didn't you?
Did I? I don't know.
I feel the USS Callister or something. The one.
Yes,
with,
yes, I did see it then, yes.
And then they did this like Bandersnatch movie, which I think I told you not to watch. I doubt that you did.
Is that the Choose Your Own Adventure one? Yeah, I have not seen that one yet.
Terrible. In my opinion, like, it's weird because, like, a lot of people start off like me really loving Black Mirror, and a lot of people have turned on the show since and said it's gone down in quality. And I kind of see sometimes what they're saying, but to me, it's just so like. It's a roll of the dice. Any episode could be completely amazing or not. Like, I get, like, the show has a motif and it has, like, a you know, things that it's dealing with, but, like, You know, there's episodes like you could hate the entire show and love San Junipero. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, to me, like, I can see people saying it's gone down in quality, but it's like, I don't know. There's still really great episodes. And so we're at season five now. There's three new episodes. And I would argue at least one of them is among the series' absolute best. So, you know, I find it weird that people have written this thing off because it's still at least one episode every season is kind of amazing. And this season, so we have three episodes. I've watched all three of them except I didn't get to see like the last 5 minutes of one because we started recording this episode tonight. So we have three episodes. I'll save the one I really want to talk about for last. One of the episodes is Miley Cyrus is in, which is crazy because I love her and I love Black Mirror. I would never, ever in a million years think they would be mentioned in the same breath.
Mix them together, yeah.
Yeah. And so her like episode, it's the one that closes it out. It's pretty weird. Like it's basically like she's a pop star, just like Miley Cyrus in real life. They come out with a little AI doll of her that you could keep in your house and talk to. And one of her teenage fans gets one and she's all super obsessed with the AI doll. Meanwhile, Miley Cyrus is, you know, going through some issues as a celebrity. She's like depression and she's got bad people around her, put it that way. Like the plot of this thing is like this girl fan and the little AI robot of her like kind of work together to save her from her evil manager, like to save the actual celebrity from her evil manager. And it's just, to me, the whole thing is silly and not a very good episode. I was kind of like, it's kind of like really disappointing for me too, because I'm like, this is the Miley Cyrus episode. I want it to be awesome.
And that's one that I've heard, like, I have not seen it yet, but that's one I've heard a lot of people say that's their favorite episode.
They're crazy. It's that. And Miley Cyrus, there's scenes where her dialogue delivery is super wooden. Like, there's scenes where she comes off totally natural and she comes off like a real person, but there's scenes where she just cannot deliver her lines, in my opinion. And it just kind of like adds up to like this kind of like really kind of like silly kind of adventure feel near the end where like you're driving through the streets trying to go save the celebrity like before the last second. It's just the best of Black Mirror has something to say, and I don't feel that this episode had anything to say.
So, fair enough.
Didn't love it. Another episode is called Smithereens, and it's about a ride share driver who, you know, like an Uber driver who takes somebody hostage that works at this big tech company, and he wants to talk to the CEO. That's like the premise of that one. I won't spoil it beyond that, other than say it's like a pretty tense standoff for most of it. And it's a really good episode. That's the one I actually didn't get to see the last 5 minutes of, but I've been told by my friend while we were recording that it was really intense and really good. So I'm excited to see the rest of that. It was pretty cool. Topher Grace is in that one as the tech CEO, like the Jack Dorsey type. But the one I really want to talk about is the first episode of the season, which I think, like I said, I think it's great. I think it's like a great kind of spiritual successor to San Junipero in a way. You know, it's definitely its own thing, though. It's not the same idea, but let me see if you can tell where this one is going. Because I'll tell you this, Chris. I read the description of the episode on Netflix before I hit play, and I knew exactly where it's going. Two college buddies start playing a VR fighting game, and playing in the VR as avatars allows them to realize something about each other and their relationship.
Huh. Okay.
You got a sense of where that might be going.
Yeah, enough.
Yeah, okay. And I'm just going to say it because I think it's super obvious. Like, one guy always plays as a girl in the fighting game, and they end up fucking in the game. And
they're both dudes.
Yes, they're old friends. They've known each other for fucking decades, right? And they just like they're going to see each other now. They got lives, they got wives, they got kids. But the dude's like, "Hey man, let's this new fighting game I got for you, you know, your birthday or whatever. Let's fucking play it one night." And they start playing, and they're playing in the VR, and I will say something about this that's like really impressive is like there's a fight. It's like Mortal Kombat, right? Or whatever.
Okay.
Like you get to see them playing the game, and it's like live action, you know, and actors playing these characters, and it's a really cool like looking like fight scene. Like it looks like a video game, but it's real. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It's really cool. But they end up fucking, and you know, I was like, from reading the description, I was like, oh, you know, this is gonna make them realize that they have feelings for each other. They're gonna kind of fall in love in the game, and
Brokeback Man in the video game.
Yeah. I'm like, is this gonna spill over into real life though? You know, and this and that. And it goes exactly where you expect, like I said. But the execution is just great. It like I said, you know, the best episodes of Black Mirror have something to say, and they show how technology can make something possible that maybe wasn't. And then here it's like, without this video game where they're playing in VR as avatars, they never would have, their relationship would have never turned in this direction. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's entirely like kind of believable. It's like a step removed from what we could do already. And yeah, I thought, like I said, I think the execution is great. The writing is great. You know, like there's like a scene, there's like a dinner table scene where they're like all sitting there and the wife gets up to go grab something from the kitchen, and the dude leans over to his buddy. He's like, let's fucking play tonight, dude. And the dude's like, no, we can't do this anymore. He's like, just fucking think about that pussy, man. Think about how fucking good it feels. Like, it's just like, it's like, it's so fucking weird, but it's like, that's what, in my opinion, is like, that dinner scene, I'm like, this is amazing writing. It's someone like really playing with this idea and going like, what does this mean? Like, how would this like change these guys' relationship?
Right.
I don't know, I thought it's among the best in the series, in my opinion, and where it goes, the way it plays out at the end, I thought was really clever, and I liked it. I'm really interested to see what other people say of this. Like, if you search the name of the episode on Twitter, you'll see lots of fun like memes and shit people are trying to come up with for it. But yeah, I haven't heard a lot of reaction from like other people I know who, you know, have seen it or are fans of the show. So I'll be interested to hear what people think. But I think that's a really standout episode of this new batch. And the Smithereens one, like the rideshare one, like, you know, I saw 90% of it. That's pretty good too. The Miley one didn't work for me. Like, that's funny that you said you heard that one's the best, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I've just heard people say that they enjoyed that one the most, but.
Anyways, I mean, that's a lot of stuff for people to go check out, and I'd say most of it is worth checking out, you know, including the movies. So I don't know what I have for next week, though, Chris. I might watch the new film from the director of It Follows. It's out there now, I guess, and I've seen good reactions.
Okay.
But, you know, other than that, I can still want to see Godzilla, and it's gotten really bad reviews. I still want to see Dark Phoenix. So.
Yeah, I still do too. I don't know when I'm going to fit it in. Like, fortunately, we also do a video game show.
Yeah,
that's not this. And the biggest portion of the year kicks off on. Before it used to kick off, it used to be like Monday, Tuesday. No, that's like such your big day. It is now spread out. It actually starts on Saturday with EA. They're running a 2.5 hour thing on Saturday, and then Sunday or when like Microsoft and Bethesda go. So it goes Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday this year. So I don't know when I'm going to fit in going to the Dark Phoenix to see.
So see, it's a really bad movie.
Yeah, what everyone's saying is terrible. But I still really do want to say it. So
I will say this. I saw one person whose opinion I respect who's like, I'm that guy. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I hope I like it.
I could see me being that person. Like, I dig the X-Men movies, especially this newer crop.
Yeah.
Just real quick, and this is kind of off topic, but like, what time is that EA thing on Saturday? Do you know?
I think it's 9:15 Pacific Western.
At night?
LA, 9:15 a.m. LA time. So 12:15 my time. So 11:15 your time.
Okay, cool. Because I have some plans on Saturday, but that'll be before them, I hope. So cool.
Yeah, no, they have it very specifically broken down. Like at 9:30 is the Star Wars game. And then you're probably not going to want to like hang around for anything else.
All right. Well, I mean, I hope to have at least something. I hope to maybe go see Godzilla. I'll get my thoughts on that. I would love to hear if you get to see any of this stuff that we, like, especially the TV I talked about.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your takes.
I'm going to try and get to see Chernobyl. I also want to watch maybe the first two episodes of Nosferatu, which is
what? I haven't heard of this.
NOS4A2, which is...
I'm a fucking idiot.
The
I never realized that's what it's spelled.
Yeah. it's the adaptation of Joe Hill's book, who's Stephen King's son, and... funny enough, it seems to take place in the Stephen King universe because there is mention of Pennywise's circus. I read the book. I liked it. I've heard that this is a prequel to that, yeah. So I'm not sure where I fall on that line, but I've liked everything I've read of Joe Hill, and that this has been getting good reviews, so I want to check it out. It's on AMC.
I have not given him a chance. That's good to hear that he's good. I always thought it was kind of a nepotism thing, so I didn't really ever give him a serious chance. I'll check it out. I'll at least I want to like read his stuff. But yeah, I did hear that Nosferatu is a. I can't believe I didn't know that's what that spelled out. I did hear though that it is like acts as like a prequel, but maybe you'll get a season two that then does
continue.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll have something.
Yeah, there'll be stuff.
So, yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
All right.
Movie dudes. Do 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 do.